It's Tennessee, South Carolina tomorrow, noon, black jerseys, Neyland Stadium. And I've got Tennessee winning this football game. I've got Tennessee covering this football game. I'll tell you why here on a Friday, Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, happy Friday, everybody, and welcome into another edition of Locked On Vols, your game preview episode before Tennessee takes on South Carolina tomorrow at noon Eastern. I'm Eric Kane, at underscore Kaner on Twitter, at Locked On Vols, and thank you so much for making this podcast, Locked On Vols, your first listen each and every day. Tennessee's got a big one coming up tomorrow. We will preview that game in segment one. Brent Hubb is going to stop by and chat with us here in segment number two, and we'll hear from another Tennessee football commit, Jazz Nimrod, in segment number three as we get you on to the weekend. So what's your thoughts on this Tennessee football game? Obviously, I know a lot of you guys are probably super excited about the black jerseys, excited about another winnable football game for Tennessee. We talked a little bit about how this has the opportunity to be a trap game, how everybody's talking about everything, everybody's looking ahead to Ole Miss, everybody's remembering how, you know, Tennessee was so dominant against Missouri. Everybody's talking about the new jerseys, and you're forgetting about South Carolina. We talked about the warnings of a trap game on Thursday's episode, and so I'm not going to do that here today. But really, I'm just going to tell you who South Carolina is. We spoke briefly about who South Carolina was earlier in the week, but you know, this is a football team that Tennessee's just flat out better than. The defense is pretty solid. Again, three of the five games so far, not from the SEC, outside the Power 5 landscape. I get that. But the defense has been pretty solid so far for South Carolina. Certainly, you know, much better than what the offense has been under Luke Doty and company. I know Zeb Nolan started the first two games, or really three games of the season. Then it's been Doty coming in about midway through that Georgia game, or second quarter of that Georgia game, and finishing on out. But really, the offense has underperformed so far. The run game has been just not great. Shane Beamer on the SEC teleconference on Wednesday was asked about Kevin Harris and the lack of the run game, and he said, hey, he was out all of fall camp. He was injured, or he was sick for the first 2 weeks of the season. So he really hadn't been practicing consistently since the East Carolina game. And that was week two for South Carolina just a couple of weeks ago. And so Kevin Harris, who was among one of the league leaders in yards per game in the SEC last year, he's third on the team with just 142 yards on 46 attempts. Now, the 46 attempts is a team high. He's got a couple of touchdowns on the season. But overall, it's not been fantastic so far for Kevin Harris, but you need him to flourish. You need him to run behind that big offensive line and for him to find any type of success for the offense and for South Carolina to have any type of success. So Kevin Harris has been a little bit of a letdown so far this year. You look at the tight ends. I mentioned them earlier in the week. Nick Muse was a preseason all-conference pick coming into the season, and he's only has 8 reception in 5 games. You know, that's not really great. Josh Vann's their biggest playmaker, 16 receptions, 2 touchdowns. He's averaging 21 yards per catch. And outside of that, they don't really have anybody else that's been, you know, superb in the receiving ranks. Jalen Brooks, 11 receptions, a touchdown. You have Jaheim Bell, who's the second tight end, 6 receptions, a touchdown. You have Dakarian Joyner, 11 receptions, a touchdown. You have EJ Jenkins, who has a touchdown. Parker White, who's been really good kicking field goals. He's probably one of the bright spots of the South Carolina team so far. 9 of 9 along of 54 yards. And last week against Troy, he made 3 field goals of 23, 37, and 49 yards of length. So you know, this offense, again, Luke Doty, I think he's a fine quarterback. He's still young. He's still learning. He's only completing 58% of his passes this year so far. 3 touchdowns to 1 interception. That 1 interception came back a couple weeks ago against Georgia. He's averaging just 188 yards passing a game, which is not spectacular. He was a quarterback out of high school. Last year, he played a little wide receiver as a true freshman and then came on as the quarterback, was set to start the opener before having a foot injury. But now, of course, he is the quarterback for South Carolina. But it's just a team that's just not really been all that great. 146-0 against Eastern Illinois. That was the opener. A 120-17 got out of East Carolina in week two. Fell to Georgia 40-13. Of course, Georgia is one of the best teams in the country, if not the best team in the country, that along with Alabama. Lost to Kentucky 16-10, and then lost to Troy 23-14. But in that Troy game, again, you had 3 field goals from Parker White. You had a 74-yard pick six from David Spaulding. So what is that? That's 16 points right there. 16 points of your 23. So you only have one other touchdown in that football game. The offense has been struggling. And for as bad as the offense has been, I think the defense has been, you know, pretty solid. You've got, you know, Jalen Foster leading that group back there, the former walk-on at free safety, 4 interceptions, that's a team high. 39 tackles, that's a team high. He's forced 2 fumbles, that's a team high as well. So it's kind of from the back end in terms of the strength. Well, I take that back. You got Joyner, who's the standout in the back end. You got Spalding, who plays the star position. You got a couple of corners that are experienced. But up front, you know, Kingsley and Egbar. Gosh, I can't say his name. He's been in the league for a while. He's a good player, a real good player. But you got him up front. You got some other guys like Zach Pickens, who's an experienced guy who's playing up front. You got Jabari Ellis, who's an experienced guy who's playing up front. Your two linebackers, Brad Johnson and Damini Staley, two playmakers. Johnson has 3.5 tackles for loss, 31 tackles on the year, 2nd on the team. Staley has 2 interceptions from the linebacker spot. So the defense has been fine. It's given up 17 points a game, only 18 first downs on average, giving up only a total offensive average of 301 per output, 160 to the pass, 140 to the run. Third down's been holding teams at 39% clip, which is pretty solid. It's got 14 takeaways. Again, that's one of the tops in the nation, especially in the nation per takeaways per game. So this defense is aggressive, but it's not been good enough so far this year to overcompensate for such a struggling offense. I still like Tennessee's chances with this tempo. Shane Beamer on the SEC teleconference on Wednesday said, hey, we've not seen anything like this before. We just haven't. Tennessee likes to run it down your throat. Well, Tennessee will run it, don't get me wrong, but Tennessee will take what South Carolina gives them. Will South Carolina screw around on defense, switch from a four-man front to a 3-stack, and put a defensive tackle playing middle linebacker some of the times? I guarantee you they won't, because that's just flat-out stupid. I have no clue what Steve Wilks was doing the other day. Really, this whole season, I have no clue what the former NFL head coach, Steve Wilks, and former great defensive coordinator of the Carolina Panthers, I have no clue what he was doing the other day. It is just a mess over there. They fired the defensive line coach. Eli Drinkin said, hey, we don't need to be pointing the fingers here, but yet he points the finger at the defensive line coach and says, hey, you're out of here. But nonetheless, that was a mess the other day. South Carolina's got a pulse defensively. Are they All-Americans? No. Is this a good football team? In my opinion, no, it's not. It's really not. Tennessee should handle South Carolina. I like Tennessee's chances on offense. You're seeing the roles clearly defined. Hendon Hooker so far has been playing some turnover-free football here of late. He's been playing good. We'll see about Jabari Small, but Tyon Evans has been pacing that run game. I like Tennessee stacking up against them on offense. And defensively, I like Tennessee's defense against South Carolina's offense because, yeah, we give up maybe some points here and there, sure. We give up some yards, yeah. But if you put South Carolina in third down situations, only 7 of 25, only 7 of 25 the past two games has South Carolina been on third downs. Tennessee is playing fast. Tennessee's playing aggressive. It lacks some talent, especially in the back end at safety right now. But Tim Banks is getting everything he can out of that defensive line. They can rotate guys in and out of 3 linebackers. We'll see about Juwan Mitchell, see if he plays tomorrow. Getting everything he can out of those groups that he possibly can. So Tennessee's playing fast and aggressive, and they're playing hard on defense, and they're getting some takeaways, and it's good enough so far. I like Tennessee overall in this football game. It's about a 10.5 point favorite right now at the time of this recording. We'll see what it is at about kickoff. But Tennessee is the better football team, like I said last week against Missouri. Tennessee flat out is the better football team. Tennessee's the better football team against South Carolina. Go handle business. Don't let it be a trap game and then get on to Ole Miss the week after. And really, that's when you're getting into the grunt of this SEC schedule. So I'm picking the Volunteers to win this football game. I'm sure you are as well. South Carolina can beat Tennessee if Tennessee just doesn't show up to the football field mentally, okay? But I'm not expecting that to happen. I'm picking Tennessee to win this football game. So that's my game preview. We'll talk with Brent Hubbs, FallQuest.com, here on the other side. But first, Built Bar. Coconut, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. There's something for everyone. And if you're not sure what your favorite flavor is, I encourage you to order a box, order a mix box where you're going to get 2 of the 9 flavors in each of your ordered boxes. Okay, there you can check out which one your favorite is. But regardless, all these bars have about about 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. They're all healthy, they're all tasty, and they're all great for you. It looks like a candy bar. It's covered in 100% chocolate, but it is a protein bar, great for that health-conscious guy and gal. So if you haven't already, or if you just want to go ahead and go back, I encourage that too. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 15% and you'll get 15% off your order. That's LOCK15 for 15% off your order at BuiltBar.com.
Brent Hubbs, VolQuest.com, joining us here for segment two of our Friday show. Thanks for making Locked On Vols your first listen each and every day. And Brent, I've been kind of characterizing this as maybe a trap game for Tennessee. Now, Tennessee can't afford to overlook anybody right now, but the point being, coming off a big win, everybody's looking forward to the black jerseys, Ole Miss next week. This is a game that if Tennessee comes out flat, I mean, South Carolina can get them, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, Tennessee's not good enough to overlook anybody, and it's funny what 62 points will do, because a week ago everybody was like, why are all the local media people picking Tennessee to win? The national people are picking Missouri. I mean, what do you guys not know? And then all of a sudden they go out and blow them out. Now all of a sudden it's everybody's counting wins. You got this one, you got that one. Okay, they got a chance to get to seven, this, that, and the other. So this team's got to go out and play well. There's no doubt about that. If they don't, then they could find themselves in trouble. They don't need to turn the football over. They got to avoid those self-inflicted wounds, which is what they did a week ago, which helped them roll out 62 points.
South Carolina offensively, you know, Luke Doty, he's coming in. He played a little wide receiver last year. Quarterback out of high school, got hurt, came into the Georgia game, and now it's kind of his team. But really struggling offensively, trying to stay balanced, doing a good job there. But not a lot of yards, certainly not a lot of points. Not a lot of playmakers. The run game has yet to get going all season long with Kevin Harris. Defensively for Tennessee, I feel like this is another opportunity to go out. If you play hard, you might have a good day and a couple of turnovers potentially.
Yeah, I mean, they have a hard time protecting Doty in the pocket, so they're rolling him out some. He's not 100% comfortable with that foot. I thought it was interesting their offensive coordinator, Marcus Satterfield, noting yesterday that they've avoided being under center so that he doesn't take a chance on getting stepped on, because the foot's been that banged up and that bruised. So they would like to be a little more play action under center. Maybe we'll see that a little bit this week. But they have a hard time running the ball. With that comes a hard time getting into the passing game that they want to play. He struggled some with accuracy. Doesn't have a lot of help. I mean, it's hard for them to score. It really is. It's a struggle for them to score. And it really has been against, you know, good opponents or good defenses. So I think this is an opportunity for Tennessee's defense to assert themselves and cause some problems and mistakes.
Offensively, still a banged-up offensive line for Tennessee, but a quarterback that's playing some good football right now. Turnover-free football the last 2 weeks. Tennessee's starting to channel in. And there are certain roles on offense at wide receiver. Maybe not 62 points, even though South Carolina's defense is a lot better than its offense. I still think that there's a chance to go out there and you know, hit them in the face with the tempo early on.
Yeah, they haven't played real tempo. Not like this. I mean, Troy went a little bit fast, but not like this kind of fast the way Tennessee wants to go. Tennessee's been really good starting games in the first quarter. When you look at, you know, I think it's 73-13 is what they're outscoring opponents. So you want to come out and assert yourself. Really like the way Hendon Hooker's playing. He's got to continue that. You know, there can't be any regression. He's got to continue to build. We know Josh Heupel can get people open. It's a matter of Tennessee's execution. They're not going to execute to nearly 500 yards on the ground. So Hendon Hooker is going to have to make some plays. There'll be a little more pressure on him in the pass game this week, because South Carolina is just a better defensive football team. So he's got to continue to grow the way he's grown the last couple of weeks. I thought he played well at Florida, even though the numbers didn't bear it out. Last week was pretty easy. This week won't be as easy, but he's playing good football.
You know, for whatever reason or another, you know, if you get in Josh Heupel's doghouse, quote unquote, you know, you're not going to play. And that doesn't mean it's for the entire season. It doesn't mean it's for a couple weeks at a time. But simply put, if you're not performing and doing the things you need to do Sunday through Friday, a lot of times you're not going to play. Alex Goler said he's absolutely not down on Jalen Hyatt. But Jimmy Callaway made the trip, didn't play. Jimmy Holiday didn't make the trip. Jalen Hyatt played about 25 snaps, but, you know, not being involved in the offense. Tennessee's kind of finding its roles at the receiver ranks, but still there's a lot of talent that's still been untapped in this offense.
Well, but I think, you know, it's a performance-based business, and that's what it is. And if you don't go out and perform, then you're not going to get as many opportunities. And I think the challenge and look, the easiest way to get somebody's attention is to reduce the number of snaps. And there's one of two ways that you can adjust to that, and you can accept that. you can pout and say, hey, you know, they're out to get me, I'm in the doghouse or whatever, or you can say, hey, I got to go to work harder.
Look at Arby Solomon.
And right, and so there's the challenge, is how do those guys respond? And I think a message was clearly sent last week that we're paring this thing down to the people that we trust and the people who are ready to play. That's why you saw Cedric Tillman play 70 snaps. Can you do that every week the rest of the year and not wear him completely down? I don't know. They need Jalin Hyatt. They need Jimmy Callaway. But they're not going to get opportunities just because there are bodies out there, you know, who can get on the field. You got to go earn it. And so we'll see how much those guys have earned it this week. I think that's something to watch. I think the other thing that's interesting to watch on offense this week is, where's that running back rotation at? How healthy are they? How does Jerry Mack manage that rotation this week? And how have guys got themselves ready to play in that room? Because they're not 100% healthy back there.
First time since 09, Tennessee's going to don the black jerseys. Fans super excited about it. What do you think about this? I mean, I think it's something exciting for the – I could care less, but I think it's something exciting for the fans, for recruits. The players are super excited about it. What say you?
It's the world we live in. I mean, you know, it's I'm not a get-off-my-lawn guy, and you got to just, you know, wear what you've always wore. There's certainly been changes and modifications to uniforms through the years. But with the advent now of color TV and everything else and graphics and everything, it's easier to do kind of exotic things. And the helmet with the black outline looks better than I anticipated
it
would look, to be honest with you. I don't want that look. I don't think I want them to wear that look every week. But I would – that on the road with a road uniform with some black outline kind of intrigues me. Mm-hmm. You know, but this is the world we're in. I mean, you saw the reaction from the players. Players love it. Tennessee's never going to go be a school like Oregon where they have 64 different combinations of things. But I think that's part of the evolving. You know, you hold true to your traditions. But you can't be so stoic in your traditions that you're not afraid for some change and some adaptation. And, you know, they didn't always run through the tee. They didn't always have checkerboard end zones.
No.
So that's part of it. And I think you have to be careful. And the challenge for Josh Heupel, particularly as he's building his program and still winning everybody over, don't go too far. But you got to go enough to get your kids to where they're always ready to play. So I'm not against it. I mean, not like maybe I was years ago. I think that's just the way college football is these days.
Last thing, an important one. What are the pros and cons in short yardage situations of being a shotgun?
Well, you're gonna if you're under center, then you can go with a Reggie Bush push and shove the guy across the goal line, so it's a shorter distance. Apparently, if you're in the shotgun, you get to read the defense better. It just turns 4th and 6 inches into 4 and 4 yards and 6 inches. So a lot of ways to skin that cat. Josh Heupel skins his cat in the shotgun. It's pretty obvious.
Again, a big thanks to Brent Hubbs, VolQuest.com, one of my bosses in my everyday life, but a really, really good, solid dude. And I hope you guys enjoyed his insights on Tennessee, South Carolina, what this game means and what it could mean for the Volunteers moving forward if it handles business, picks up a convincing win, and on throughout the rest of the SEC slate. All right, so we're going to cap our Friday show, our week worth of shows, with another conversation with another Tennessee football commit. 3-star wide receiver Charles Nimrod will join the show next. But first, BetOnline, your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With new and updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. You can head to the website right now or use your mobile device. Sign up today to receive a 50% welcome bonus. That's on your first deposit. All you have to do is use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive that 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. We got football coming up this weekend, college football, pro football, football all week long. Put some coin in your pocket. Put your sports knowledge to use at betonline.ag. But it's not just football. It's basketball, boxing. It's right to your favorite Las Vegas casino games. You don't want to miss out on taking advantage of all these amazing offers available for the 2021 season. So right now, go to betonline.com.ag. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports. Betonline.ag. BetOnline. It's where the game starts.
Hey, we're Tennessee football commit Charles Nimrod here, and wanted to catch up with you, Charles, a 3-star wide receiver, of course, 6'3", about a 180, one of the commits for the class of 2022. And thanks for joining me here today. And I wanted to ask you first and foremost, kind of how's it going now? The commit is out of the way. You've chosen the Volunteers. How is life
now compared to just a couple of months ago?
It's going really good. It's like a weight off your shoulders once you commit. I have that all figured out. And it's pretty cool to be able to say I'm a Tennessee commit.
You know, looking back, why did you choose the Volunteers? And, you know, I know there were some other teams heavily involved in this. Are you, I mean, obviously no second guessing. Are you really happy with the decision now a couple months later?
Yes, sir. I'm really happy with my decision. And the reason I chose them is because I really like Coach Heupel and how he wants to, like, rebuild the program and bring them back to what they were. And I really like Coach Burns because when I was up there working out, I picked up on his coaching style pretty easy, and I just got good vibes from being there.
On his coaching style, kind of, you know, what clicked with you? What does he do that, you know, really kind of made you feel like you'd be okay being coached by him for the next couple of years?
He was really laid back when he was coaching, and he was like teaching it more than anything.
Well, now in recruiting, I know teams are still calling you and still trying to come after you, but how has all that changed? I would assume that it's, you already mentioned it's a weight lifted off your shoulder, but you know, is it not as many teams contacting you? Kind of how has the landscape of recruiting changed now that you're a commit?
Not very many schools still reach out. I mean, maybe some here and there, but yeah, it's all died down now.
How has watching Tennessee get off to a 3-2 record so far this year under a new offense and Josh Heupel? I know you were at the Tennessee Tech game, but how has it been watching this team perform this year?
It's pretty awesome watching them perform. I like how they throw the ball a lot, and for them having a whole new staff come in, they're doing pretty good things. So it'll be exciting to see what we can do in the next couple of years.
You know, Tennessee is averaging about three plays, a little over three plays a minute, fast tempo, throwing the ball a lot. I mean, as a wide receiver, that's got to be super exciting, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, definitely super exciting, but it'll be new getting used to the super fast tempo offense.
Yeah. What's the type of offense you guys run in high school right now?
I'm pretty sure it's a West Coast style offense. We, a lot of RPOs, drop backs, like post balls and stuff. It changes up like week by week, but and lots of screens too. But yeah,
so there'll be some similarities between the offense you're running now and, you know, what's to come at Tennessee. Of course, as you mentioned, the tempo is going to be the big thing, but mm-hmm. as far as your senior football season, how's that going for you guys team wise and of course you individually?
It's going pretty good as a team. Pretty sure we're 4-1 right now, and individually it's kind of hard to, I wouldn't say hard to give me the ball, but teams know me, so they're gonna adjust their defense to play us. So like we've had teams with their safeties play like 20 yards back, so they're figuring out different ways to give me the ball, like moving me into the slot or like trick plays.
Talking with Tennessee commit Charles Nimrod, a three-star wide receiver out of Bentonville, Arkansas. And Chaz, how do they kind of use you? I would assume, you know, teams are keying on you, like you said, but you know, lining up on the outside, lining up in the slot, I would assume maybe they try to just find any way to get the football in your hands, right?
Yes, sir. Most of the time they use me to like stretch the field, big third down plays. But yeah.
Of course, you were on campus for the Tennessee Tech game earlier this year, looking to see if you can come back for an official visit later on this year. Seeing a game day atmosphere at Neyland Stadium, seeing the Vol walk, seeing some of the pregame traditions like running through the tee. I mean, kind of what's going through your mind right there, seeing how all that unfold? Did you like it? And obviously, you're going to be a part of that here next year.
Yeah, seeing it was super cool. And when I was watching it, I just couldn't wait to be a part of it.
But you're one of three wide receiver commits in this class right now, along with Cam Miller and Squirrel White, and you know, part of 10 offensive commits so far, 14 overall. A little work to do left in this class, but kind of what do you think about this recruiting class, and how's the relationships forming between you and the others?
I feel like this recruiting class is really good, and the relationship between all of us is pretty good. We have a group chat that we talk in pretty often.
Is it pretty active?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Good way to start, you know, building those bonds, I would imagine. When you look at, you know, some of the recruitment process with Tennessee, has there been any current players that you've gotten to kind of know, or maybe kind of took you under their wing whenever you were up there? You know, Tennessee Tech kind of talked to you and kind of told you exactly what this program's about? And if so, kind of who might be some of those players?
I haven't really talked to any of the current players yet, but one of them at the game, he talked to me. He was pretty nice. Pretty sure it was Walker, maybe?
Walker Merrill.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
What about you in terms of, you mentioned stretching the field and everything, but, you know, Tennessee fans are wanting to learn more about you. When you get on campus, what should they expect? Maybe not right out of the gate, but eventually during your time in Tennessee, what should they expect from Charles Nimrod?
They can expect all-around explosive receiver. He's going to get after it, give it his all every play, and try and bring as much of the team as I can.
Now, we know about you as the football player, but who's Chaz Nimrod outside of the lines, outside of the football field? Kind of what do you do in your spare time? Any other sports, any other extracurricular activities?
I'm a homebody, but I go golf sometimes. I like to golf and I like to cook. And sometimes I help out a helping hand.
Like to cook, huh? So what do you like to cook? What's your favorite dish to whip up?
Definitely breakfast, just like pancakes or waffles, eggs, bacon, sausage.
I'm with you. Breakfast for dinner is probably the best thing in the entire world. So, Chaz Nimrod, man, you know, if you had a message to Tennessee fans, you know, listening right now, kind of what would that be?
I don't know. I guess just remember the name.
Yeah, that you're super excited. I would assume to be coming up here to Knoxville soon, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, super excited. Can't wait to get up there and experience everything and be a part of what's coming.
Awesome. Well, you're repping the Power T right now with that Tennessee shirt. One of three wide receiver commits here for the class of 2022. Charles Nimrod, a three-star wide receiver from Bentonville, Arkansas. Hey, man, thanks so much for joining me. And where can people watching this and listening to this, where can they follow you and get to know you a little bit more before you step foot on campus?
I'd say social media on Twitter, probably. It's where I post most of my football stuff.
What type of football stuff do you post there? Just a bunch of videos and clips and stuff?
Yeah, just like highlights from the game and my stats.
Awesome. Good deal. Well, Charles, man, I appreciate you taking the time, dude. Best of luck. And we'll definitely get you back on here before you set foot on campus. Okay.
Sounds good.
Again, that was Tennessee wide receiver commit Charles Nimrod. One of 14 commits for the University of Tennessee, one of 10 offensive commits, and one of three wide receiver commits so far for the class of 2022. Tennessee will have a couple of official visitors on campus this weekend, a whole lot of unofficial visitors as Tennessee takes on South Carolina tomorrow at noon. Guys, thank you so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen. And now for your second listen here on a Friday, go check out Locked On SEC. You can get all the daily SEC news in less than 30 minutes with SEC expert Chris Gordy. Thank you so much for a great week. The numbers have been fantastic. Thanks for participating in my ticket giveaway. Thanks so much. Maybe we can do some more of that here in the future. But bottom line, where you come to get your Vol content right here on Locked On Vols, can't thank you enough. It means the world to me. We'll do it again next week, recapping what we hope will be a Tennessee football victory. Stay up to date at _Caner, at Locked On Vols, all throughout the football game, throughout the weekend. I'll have constant coverage, plus a Locked On Now after the game, and we will recap it all with grades and more on a Monday, Locked On Vols. Guys, stay safe, enjoy your weekend, and enjoy the rest of your Friday, everybody.